The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I'm Richard Paul Evans, author of the best-selling Michael Vay series. For more than 6 years, readers from around the world have followed Michael Vay and his friends as they battled Dr. Hatch and the Elgin. Then, at the end of book six, Michael Vay was struck by lightning. Now everyone's asking, where's Michael? You're about to find out. Book 7, the last book of the Michael Vay series, is on sale now. Find out why Glenn Beck says Michael Vay is fantastic. Michael Vay, The Final Spark, on sale now. Pick up your copies today.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Max Lucado from San Antonio, Texas. He started a small church in Miami, Florida, and now he's in San Antonio. He's been a pastor for 40 years. He's authored 34 books, 43 different languages. 97 million copies of his books are in print. He's been married 34 years, has a granddaughter, has three wonderful children, and a very important message in his new book, Anxious for Nothing, which, Max, I had to have you on because I think this is the answer to much of what the world is facing right now. We are so anxious about everything. And through, I think, misdirection, we're blaming it on all kinds of different things and all different people. But it's really this anxiety. First of all, where do you think it's coming from? What are we experiencing?
Thanks for letting me on the program,
sure.
By the way.
Yeah.
That's not just an assumption on your part. You know, sociologist after sociologist has told us, and I document a lot of this in the book, that we are now the most anxious nation on the planet, and this is the most anxious generation since anxiety was ever measured. Third world countries score healthier on the anxiety list than the United States does. So how could this be? We have more gimmicks, I mean, more gadgets, more toys, more entertainment than ever, and yet we're wrapped tighter than Egyptian mummies. We're just anxious people. And so it's not just an assumption on your part. And I think the consequence of this, of course, is physical. Just about every malady can be traced back in some form to some form of stress. But I think also we pay a high price emotionally. We're losing the ability to have honest conversations with one another because we live in fear. We're anxious. And when you're anxious, you hunker down and you withdraw. And the result of that can be a breakdown in fellowship, community, and dialogue.
We withdraw, but then we also gather in groups. This thing that's going on with dopamine right now, of we get constant dopamine hits. If we post something nasty on Facebook and it starts to go viral, our brain is rewarding us for that with a feel-good drug. And it's, I don't know how that's going to break, because we're looking, I mean, look, we're strung out on opioids or on dopamine hits. And if you're not doing one of those two things, the suicide rate is going through the roof. People are not built to handle this kind of stress.
The suicide rate between 1999 and today has gone up 24%.
Wow.
24%. Now, if we said that about a particular disease, we'd call it an epidemic. More people than ever are orchestrating their own departure, which gives rise to the question, what is happening in our culture to cause that
to
occur?
What is it?
I think from a sociologist's viewpoint, the common list includes, we've seen more change in the last 30 years than we've seen in the last 300. So the world is moving far too fast. Number two, we have forgotten how to slow down. Mm-hmm. Our great grandparents and ancestors would go only as far as the day as the horse or the camel would go. And then when the sun set, they would slow down. We have forgotten how to do that. And then also the bombardment of negative news, not just political news, but just negative news. If something bad happens in Nepal, I hear about it within 5 seconds. Whereas our ancestors never would have heard about it, or if they did, they would have been 5 weeks later. So we're just bombarded with negative news. So those are the three things that sociologists state. Can I add to that as a pastor?
Sure.
I think secularism is taking its toll on us. Secularism is the belief that there's nothing in life beyond what happens between birth and the grave, and there's nothing beyond the world to help us. Secularism really sucks the hope out of a culture, because if there's nothing more than what I can see and touch and feel, and I don't like what I can see and touch and feel, then I think I'll just check out.
So I want to play something for you that I saw this morning from Jim Carrey. He was giving an interview yesterday in New York, and it was some fancy celebrity thing. And everybody is reporting this as, look at Jim Carrey's kind of slapping down Hollywood and the elites and everything else. I don't think that's what's happening. I want you just to listen to what Jim Carrey said in an interview yesterday, because he is either really unhealthy or he's just starting to figure life out, and I can't decide which it is.
Hey, Jim Carrey. Yes.
What?
I've covered a lot of fashion weeks. This is the first time I've run in to Jim Carrey. Wait, tell me, is it true you're wandering the streets? You need a date to the party? What's up?
No. I'm doing just fine. I just, there's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join, and here I am.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
icons.
Boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, possibility that we could come up with. It's like icons. Do you believe in icons? I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air.
You don't believe certain icons have the power to make change, to think differently, to be bold, to inspire others? Artistry, you're one of them.
On the good foot. Ha! Yeah. You shut it down now. Yeah, no, I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality, beyond invention and disguise, beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off. I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And I don't care.
But Jim, you got really dressed up for the occasion. You look good.
No, I
didn't. Was that an accident?
I didn't get dressed up.
Who did?
There is no me.
There's no you.
No.
We're not here. This is a dream.
There's just things happening.
Stop.
And there are
He's a guy who's been going through trouble lately, a lot of personal trouble. And it's, to me, this is really concerning. I like the idea that he says all of this is meaningless, but I think he is to a point to where he means really all of this is meaningless. And there's a fine line between that.
Mm-hmm. He seems right on the edge of despair.
Yes.
And despair often is born out of a sense of utter, complete disappointment with life. You know, I've been at the top. I've had the very best. I've had all it could give me. And it's still vain. It's vanity. There's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. And King Solomon reached that same conclusion. You know, the richest man probably who ever lived. And he said, it's nothing but, there's vanity. And it has no meaning to me. And so this cry for meaning, this longing to be a part of something significant, is right at the core of the deepest, deepest need of a human being. Why am I here? Where am I going?
So where are we finding that now? Now that our churches, are struggling, I think in some cases, for good reason, where do we find it? How do we put this back?
I know our churches are struggling, and oftentimes because of the way churches are structured, they can be so inauthentic that they come across to people as simply another way to earn money or to steal from people. And so that's created this disconnection between many people and the church. I really think, though, that we are beginning to sense, especially in the millennial generation, a sense of authentic faith among our young people. And it's very, very encouraging. And it's a faith that's really built upon a deep, deep conviction that there is a good God who is up to something good. They don't have all the answers, don't have all of the questions resolved, but there's a deep, deep conviction that we're seeing a fresh move of faith among our young people. And I find that very encouraging.
There are reasons to feel the chaos. There are reasons. I mean, there's real things that are happening, that people's jobs are at stake. They don't know how they're going to make ends meet. Their kids are in trouble. Suicide rate with youth is through the roof. There's real reason to feel this way. How do you disconnect from the very real things in your life? The hype of all of the things that you shouldn't worry about, and put that in order, and then find a peaceful place in it. You know, how did Martin Luther King, how was he in jail and fine? How did Dietrich Bonhoeffer thank his executioner? How do you do that?
And ask that very question in this book, because I based this book upon the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this book in a Roman jail cell. And this book called Philippians in the Bible has come to be known as the Epistle of Joy. And yet there's 1,001 reasons he should not be happy.
Right.
I mean, the emperor was making a living off of killing Christians, and probably Paul was next in line. And here the Apostle Paul is chained to a Roman guard and has every reason to think he'll never see the light of day again. If it is, it's just for a few moments before his head is chopped off. And yet you read these four chapters and there's not one word of complaint, not one word of complaint. And it's, as you dig into this book, you find in this book really a deep and abiding trust in two simple facts: that there is a good God, and this good God is up to good things. And so I think that, you know, and I'm not saying anything that surprised you. I mean, I'm a pastor, but I know I'm supposed to say these things. But deep in my heart, I really believe that the cause of anguish and despair is a sense of meaninglessness.
It is.
Why am I here? Where am I headed? Why am I here? Where am I headed? And if you cannot answer those two fundamental questions in life, I mean, how do you get up on a Monday and go to work? You can only do it so many times before you become bitter and jaded and cynical.
I'd add to that that there is a, there's a deep sense in, I think, in all of us of, I want to do something of meaning. Mm-hmm. And we can't find it. We can't find that something of meaning. We're talking to Max Licato. In a second, I want to talk to him about chaos, which we've just been talking about. But calm. C-A-L-M. Calm the chaos. In a minute.
The book by Max Licato is Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. At some point, I want to ask Max about the question my kid asked me the other day with the hurricane bearing down. It was one of those, why is God sending the hurricane? Is it to kill people? And I thought that was probably, I didn't want to say yes to that. So I said, hey, look, Daddy's iPad is charged. Here you go, kid. That was probably not the response Max will give.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
I'm Richard Paul Evans, author of the best-selling Michael Vay series. For more than 6 years, readers from around the world have followed Michael Vay and his friends as they battled Dr. Hatch and the Elgin. Then, at the end of book six, Michael Vay was struck by lightning. Now everyone's asking, where's Michael? You're about to find out. Book 7, the last book of the Michael Vay series, is on sale now. Find out why Glenn Beck says Michael Vay is fantastic. Michael Vay, The Final Spark, on sale now. Pick up your copies today.